See that the song for tonight, the invitation song, is Why Not Tonight? And that's a good question to ask yourself as you sit here and think about the lesson of God's Word. If you're not right with God in some way, why not make that right tonight? Why not make that decision tonight? That would be our hope indeed for all of you. Tonight we want to look just at a lesson, and of course we'll just mention about James a little bit. He won't be here, at least for now, on Sunday evenings. He's moving, in the process of moving to the Custer area, I guess, which I just realized or found out is out Cecilia Way, and make a few turns and then you get out there. But he will hopefully be able to get moved there at some point and then be able to worship with us on a regular basis. He will be looking to be here on Sundays, as they usually come to that property for the weekend. So we'll want to encourage him. But that was indeed a joy to be able to see that and to be encouraged. You know, when we talk tonight, the lesson is entitled, We Are Family. And I wanted to mention as well, and almost forgot, I knew there was something else. Billy Bob was here tonight, and his girlfriend, Christy Lee Cox, passed away at 10 a.m. this morning. So our thoughts and prayers want to be with Billy Bob and be an encouragement to him very much. And so it's good to see him again. It's good to see him out with us, and he's always an encouragement when I see him. So, you know, there are others that are here, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, that have lost loved ones. And it's, I think, a tribute to many of those that we've seen who've gone through the process of losing a loved one, and then they're here at worship services. That didn't hinder them. I think of David, whenever David was one who had to make that decision with his child, and he was all worked up praying about that, but when his child died, he cleaned himself up, he went out and paid homage to God. And so we are thankful for those that have suffered loss, are here and are worshiping God, and our prayers are with each and every one of them. The Moss family, of course, we continue to pray for, encourage them, as well as many others. When we talk tonight about being family, sometimes we think about the family that we are, and we think of the physical family. And we think about the idea that we've lost some of our physical family. How many of us, through the time that I've been here, probably couldn't look at a single family that didn't suffer some loss that we've shared together. But yet, we continue to move on, we continue to progress on, and one thing that probably I didn't understand as much, or until recently, and I'll explain why in just a moment, is that concept of the church being a family. You know, we may have lost our father, or we may have lost another family member, a mother, or someone else in our family. But when we come here, we can have many mothers, and we can have many fathers, and we can have many brothers and many sisters. We don't want to leave the impression, by any stretch of the imagination, that when we talk about the church being about a family, or we being a family as the church, that we are saying this church is for families. If you have a family, we want you here. That's not the idea. That's not what we're saying, although that's a wonderful thing. But individuals, no matter who you are, you'll be able to find that you have family here in the body of Christ. The passage that was read for us was one where Jesus indicated that those who would be his family wouldn't necessarily be his physical family. If you recall, while he was alive, his brothers, his family didn't believe in him. His mother did, but his siblings did not. And he says, basically, who is my family but he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven? And many of us as well have family that are not a part of the body of Christ, but yet we are, and we're a part of a family as the body of Christ. The Pittsburgh Pirates in 1979, Ken, I don't know where he is back there. We were at the ball game the other evening when all the kids went up, and we got talking and mentioned, of course, the Pittsburgh Pirates, and we are family. I remember that was 1979, that Sister Sledge song. You'll probably have it in your heads now. I've had it since I've been thinking about it. But that song, We Are Family, and it indicated not that the Pirates and that entire team, they adopted that song, but it wasn't because Willie Stargell and Parker and Omar, whatever his name was, and all those other guys that played for him, Kent Tekulve, those fellas. It wasn't that they were all brothers from the same mother, but they were a family. They were a family. And so it was this concept of a group that can be a family that's not really a physical family. And we see that in the church. And, you know, I hope that helps us to understand that though we may not all be flesh and blood family, we who meet here together in the name of Christ and the body of Christ are all a part of a family, and that is a great blessing indeed. Whenever we think of that and whenever we go through that thought, hopefully our understanding is that we can draw strength from that. I mentioned that I've probably not really had the focus as much upon the church as being my family because I've always had a family with me. The girls have been part of our family. Brenna been part of the family, obviously. And you get busy, don't you, when your kids are younger and when they're active and you're involved in them. But the girls are growing up. The girls are moving on. They're gone part of the time. And soon they'll be gone for good. And it's more of a sense then that I see that I guess some of those are the older members, some of our widow ladies, and others like that who really think about, I think, the church as a family. And they really do things that are encouraging and strive to be a blessing to others. And we can learn from that. And even though we're busy and we get busy with things, we need to remember that we're all a part of this family together. You know, when I ended up baptizing the girls, we, and you've probably done this as well, at least in some sense, talk to your child about not only being your daughter, but also now your sister. They're not just your daughter, but they're your sister in Christ as well. And that's a great blessing to think about. And when you come up out of the waters of baptism, as we'll look at in a moment, you're members of an additional family. You're members of a different family than just your physical family. Yes, your physical family may be a part of that family as well, but when you're baptized, you come up out of Christ and you come up out of the water, you're a brother and sister with others, and you have God as your Father and Christ as your Savior. And so, though the church is in that way and likened unto a family in many different ways, there are a lot of things that we read in Scripture that indicate how that is the case. Like the new birth, and you use that often, John 3:3-5, except a man be born anew, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so there is the physical birth process that we think of, but only Jesus uses it of the spiritual birth. And he says, we're born anew, we're born again. And we see that he explains that, except you be born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so we can see that we are, through baptism, born into it. But there's other elements as well. They've been talking and we've been highlighting Peanuts adoption that's coming up on Tuesday. There are passages that speak of adoption. And you try to tell Laura or anyone that's adopted someone that that's any less of a family than if that child was born into the family, and you're not going to get them to agree to that for one moment. There's a love that's there. But Ephesians chapter 1:5 talks about having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself according to the good pleasure of his will. See, there was a choice that was made. We make a choice to be baptized, but God made that choice to allow us to come into his family. In Ephesians 2 and verse 19, we read there, so then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Called saints, but also the household of God. And so we are indeed looked at and viewed from God's perspective as a family. And while we should value that fact again, we need to be careful that we don't just think that, yes, the church is that we're a part of as a family, and don't then leave the impression with people that maybe you're single or maybe the people that don't have families for whatever reason, that somehow we say we are a church that's for families. We're not just a church for families. We're a church for families, but we're also a church for individuals. But all together. It's the blessing that we have of being a part of the family of God. You know, when you think of being a part of a family, that usually comes with some privileges and some responsibilities as well. We think of a family practicing unconditional love. That doesn't mean we accept, if you will, the behavior or the actions of individuals. But we do have an unconditional type of love. And we think of that and the way in which we care for people. It's not based upon how they act or what they do necessarily. There's still a love that we have. There may be things that are necessary because of problems in their life, but it doesn't change the fact that we still love them. In Galatians 6, 1 and 2, we see there the concept of a man be overtaken in a fault. Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. But it goes on to say, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are to be about the burden-bearing business and encouraging one another. And we see, of course, in passages like 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27, that idea of the body and the church being made up of many different members. And that's important for us to think of, because that helps us to see, as we are a family and as we are part of this body of Christ, that we all have various roles to fulfill and to fit together and to encourage one another. And so, as we see that it says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And then we go down through about verse 26, and we read in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26, and whether one member suffers or all the members suffer with it, or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. There's a sense in which there's a relationship that we have one with another. In Romans, Paul would write to those at Rome in chapter 12, verses 10 and 15, and he'd say, in love of the brethren, be tenderly affectionate to one another, in honor, preferring one another. And then it says to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with those that weep. Again, as we know, with a family, though sometimes we have that sense of great joy and responsibility and blessings that come with it, there's also sometimes the responsibility of correction. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he indicated to them when there was a situation where it was actually reported that a man had his father's wife, and that wasn't right and that wasn't proper. And he said, and you all are puffed up about that, and you should be mourning about that. And so he said that though he was absent in the body, he was present in the spirit, and he was ready to judge that one at that time. But he told the congregation, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, ye be gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. And so when people are not willing to repent of sin, when they continue in that sin, then sometimes we have to take steps that are to help them. We see that that's for the benefit of the body. Deliver their soul unto Satan, that the flesh may be destroyed, but that their soul may be saved in the end. We see in the 2 Corinthian letter in chapter 2, beginning about verse 5, Paul recants what most believe to be a reference to this situation where they had withdrawn from this particular man. He had repented, and then this is what he seems to be addressing here. But if any hath caused sorrow, he hath caused sorrow, not to me, but in part, that I press not too heavily to you all. Sufficient to such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by many. So that contrarywise, ye should rather forgive him and comfort him, lest by any means such a one should be swallowed up with his overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you to confirm your love towards him, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you're obedient in all things. And so there's a responsibility that we have. But there's also the great hope that we have of an inheritance. You know, I think a lot of times people, and we've seen it, we've talked about death and we've talked about the fact that people pass from this life and we miss them. But one of the saddest things is to see a family that's very concerned over an inheritance and all the things that are going on there.
Hopefully families don't battle over that, but there are times when an individual pass from this life and they'll leave things behind. It may just be possessions, and so you'll have those things designated out. This is going to be what your inheritance is, and all of those type of things. But in Galatians 3, 28 and 29, we read there, "There can neither be Jew nor Greek, there can be neither bond nor free, there can be no male or female, for you are all one man in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise." We think about as this family that we're a part of, this spiritual family, the church, that we're heirs of a promise that goes way back. That promise was a promise that was made to Abraham and to his seed, which would then come through Christ. And what a great blessing it is to see that Christ, as he is that spiritual head, if you will, of the church, and that spiritual head in that sense of the family, we understand that there are blessings. In Ephesians 1 and verse 11, "In whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will." We see that we have a heritage. We have made a heritage, and we've been foreordained. Knowing, it says, of course, Colossians 3:24, that from the Lord ye shall receive recompense of the inheritance, ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about the inheritance that we're speaking of, it's not something that we have here in this life or something that we take with us physically. But rather it's an inheritance that's laid up for us in heaven. What a great blessing and joy to know that as a part of this family, we do have a sure inheritance, and it's the greatest thing that we could ever hope for. It's that sense or that life of being able to live eternally with God in heaven. Peter talks about in 1 Peter 1 and verse 4 that this inheritance, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, when you think about being a part of the family, we really do need to think about how we interact with one another, how we respond to one another, and how we understand that God had intended in his church. Hopefully we do have love for one another, and hopefully we do have concern for one another, and that shows in everything that we do. But hopefully as well, we understand this concept not just for the sense of what it benefits and how it benefits us in the here and now, that is this life where we are living it and encouraging one another, but also for the hope that comes in the end. We spoke of those who have faced situations where loved ones have passed from this life. Many of those loved ones have been faithful to God, and we believe have gone on to be with God in eternity. Eventually, they'll be able to be forever in heaven with him. But what a great thought it is to know that we too could be in heaven with God eternally. That's one of the things that I think can encourage us and can bless us. I spoke of some of the people who might grasp a little bit more that family concept because they have less and less people here. I had a lady that said to me one time, she said, "You know, I'm having more and more of a sense that I have a desire to depart and be with the Lord because there were more people that she was close with that had already passed from this life than there were that she was close with that were left here up on this earth." But when you think of this inheritance, here's what I want us to think about and understand. It's an inheritance that's incorruptible. It's not something that we have to worry about passing away. It says it will not fade away, and it's not something that can be defiled. It's something that God has prepared for us, for those who are faithful, for those who are part of the family, that's all been blessed to be able to be on that journey together, following God's will and seeking to be with him in heaven one day. When I think of that, we sing that song sometimes, we're part of the family that's been born again. And it's a great blessing to be a part of that family. And we are blessed to have those of us who do our physical families. How great is it to be able to know that you have those who are of a physical family that you can look to, that you can be encouraged by, especially when they're also part of the body of Christ. When you think about the very beginning, God had the family in mind, didn't he? Whenever he created man, he saw that it was not good for man to be alone. And so he caused that deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He took one of the ribs and closed the flesh thereof, and then brought that individual to the man. Woman was her name, and she was taken out of man. And she was truly a gift from God to man. And then God gave those responsibilities to be fruitful and multiply. And so early on, the physical family concept was there. And it's something that helps us then when we think about that spiritual concept of family. I don't know how many of you all are suffering or dealing with difficulty because of family and because you miss family members. But know that God also has a place where you have a multitude of family members that you can turn to as well. And let's strive to be the type of people who not only turn to others when we need to, but also are willing and able to let others turn to us. It's a part of the blessing of being a part of the body of Christ. We're part of a family. And so I hope that as you think about that this evening, as we close out the lesson, that if you've never thought about this situation in this way before, or even if you have, but if you've been thinking about becoming a part of the body of Christ, realize the blessing of salvation that is yours when you make that decision to be obedient to the gospel plan of salvation. Hearing God's word, believing that God is and Christ is his son, being willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ as your Savior, and be buried with him in the watery grave of baptism. You arise a new creature in Christ. Let's remember those new creatures in Christ that are born into the family are young, and they need encouragement, and they need uplifting, and we need to build them up. But let's continue in that family to grow and to grow to maturity that we might be able to bless others. If you're here outside of Christ, having never put Christ on in baptism, we want you to make that decision tonight, and we have everything ready and would be happy to assist you. If you're here and you are already a Christian, but you need the prayers of the church, we have that blessing and that great benefit as well as part of the family to go to the Lord on behalf of one another and encourage one another as we have opportunity. Won't you think about that tonight? And if you have a need, don't put that off, but come as together we stand and as we're led.